Indeed, Lord, you're the God who makes a way. And when we stand before obstacles in life, Lord, where it looks like there's no way forward, then you come along and you split the sea. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight you'll split the sea in our lives for those things we face. I thank you, Lord, that you'll make a way tonight, that you would deliver, Lord, on your promises that you will never leave us and never forsake us. And tonight we'll have the assurance that you are God and you are our God and you are God that provides a way out of all situations. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Wow, that wasn't actually as bad as I thought it was going to be. You know, when I moved to George, when I was moved to George by the Lord, I said, we'll never do that because it doesn't sit well with me. And this has now been the second time, and this was a lot better than the first time. But yeah, circumstance is circumstance. And we trust in God to rebuild the awesome praise and worship team. Unfortunately, Marcus is leaving us, but we've got others who will step up. But the evening service, we're battling a bit, but we're trusting God. Now, when I was listening to this song and the previous song, no, not that one, Dirk, I sent you another message for tonight. Okay, while Dirk finds it, that's okay. While I was listening to that, I thought, yeah, how apt, because I didn't choose these songs, I left it in Dirk's hands, and especially I'll Raise a Hallelujah is exactly what I want to talk to you about tonight. You'll remember that last week I started off with a scripture in 2 Chronicles 2, verse 22. And I just said, you know, when we're facing difficulties, when we got an enemy against us, we need to worship. We really need to get to a place where we start to sing God's praises, and that brings breakthrough. And from there, the Holy Spirit just started to move, and we had a pretty awesome time, wasn't it? Who was here last week? It was like bordered on amazing. Michaela, you agree with me? Good, good, good. It was one of those evenings where the Holy Spirit just showed up and showed us exactly who's in charge, and we love it when that happens. But we used this scripture, which will come up shortly. Dirk's just got to process it. In 2 Chronicles 2:22, and it says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. What had happened is the enemy was surrounding them. The people appealed to God. They began to worship God, and God set ambushes for the enemy. And I was thinking about the scripture because that was just something that I felt to share. And I was wondering, what was the background to this? What had happened to get them to this place where God defeated the enemy on their behalf? And in this journey is so many lessons for us as children of God. And it begins, if you know your Bible history, which many people don't, the nation of Israel actually split in two, and it became Judah and Israel. And Judah had the more godly kings, where Israel never ever had a godly king after that split. At this, when this happened in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the king at that stage was Jehoshaphat. And he was a good king. He was a godly king. Okay, he had driven all the Baal worshippers out of Judah. And Jerusalem was in Judah, that. So Jerusalem was reclaimed for God again. It was cleansed, the nation, that part of Israel, Judah, was cleansed of idol worship. And he was really a godly man. He made one or two mistakes that cost them a little bit. But overall, he was a very godly man. Okay? And this is now the lead up to this story. You see, it says in verse 2 and verse 3, which should come up soon, some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already at Hazazon, Tamar, which is En Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. Now this is amazing to me. And this is where we maybe lose it. We've all got enemies who come against us. We've all got these things that we're dealing with. We're all in a season of our life where we're waiting for breakthrough, where we need a breakthrough. Perhaps it's financial. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's to do with your studies. Maybe it's to do with your children. We got something, because we've all got something. No one's life is perfect, where we need God to intervene. And Judah and the king found themselves in this place where they told, this vast army is coming against you, an army big enough to defeat you, and they're on their way, they're getting closer. Normally, we would panic, wouldn't we? And we start looking at our own schemes. Can I do this? Can I do that? Maybe I should stop doing this. Maybe I should just do that. Maybe I should just give up and carry on with my life as it is. You know what? I'll just turn to friends. I'll turn to alcohol. I'll turn wherever. And we don't really approach things in a godly way. We take our human nature and put that ahead of our spiritual nature in approaching enemies that come against us. This king teaches us something else, because it says immediately he said, I'm going to inquire of the Lord. Immediately. There was no hesitation. He went to the Lord and he declared a national fast so that the whole tribe of Judah and the half tribe of Benjamin that was with him would then enter into a fast to seek the counsel from God. How do we deal with this enemy who has come against us? What is it, Lord, that you want us to do? He recognizes, I'm just a man. If I must face this enemy, I'm rather going to turn and run, because they're a lot bigger, a lot stronger, and a lot better equipped than what we are. We will be better off just going to go hide in the mountains and let them take Jerusalem, let them plunder the temple. But he's not that type of king. And we shouldn't be that type of person who turns our back on the enemy and we let him run rampant in our lives. It's time we seek the counsel of God and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do in this situation? And we do say these prayers, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. But not, Lord, what must I do? I need an ABC, God. You give me a plan how to get through this. I've been taught over the last few weeks I must have faith. I've seen evidence of faith. I've heard of people getting houses, getting jobs. I've heard of people getting healed, Lord. So you're able to do these things for others. So then you're able to do it for me, Lord. I want to know what is your plan for me in this situation, and I'll follow your plan. And we don't go to the king. We go to King I instead of the King of Kings. And we try our own strength first. And when that fails, we blame God. How could you do this to me, Lord? The Lord doesn't do any of this to you. He uses circumstances to reach out to you. He won't cause an illness in your life to teach you a lesson or whatever. But he'll use it if you ask him and you invite him in and say, Lord, show me how to get out of this. So this king and the entire nation goes into a time of prayer. And if you go and you read this prayer, which starts in verse 6, it is really, he's pleading with God, Lord, you are God, you are able to, you got the power, you said. He's reminding God of what God has said. And then in verse 10, he clarifies who this enemy is. And he says in verse 10, but now Yah are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you, Lord, wouldn't allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. If you remember the Exodus, there were certain places the Lord says, do not enter, do not fight them, leave them alone. The very people that they were kind to, and I turned their back on them. Doesn't that happen in our lives? When people we do the utmost for, people we've been nice to, people we've loved, turn around and hurt us. It's usually the ones closest to us that hurt us the deepest. Israel bypassed these people. in accordance with the request of God. They were being godly when they left this people alone. And now these very people have turned and attacked the nation. Isn't it like that in our life sometimes? When we're following God's principles, we're listening to God's voice, yet the enemy still comes against us. And he comes against us bigger and stronger than we've ever experienced before. Simply because we're following God's voice. You see, the enemy doesn't want you to have breakthrough. He doesn't want you to understand the power that God is able to exert in your situation. Because once you understand what God is able to do, you're able to have faith in the Lord for that. He knows you will defeat him in every single battle that you face. He doesn't want you to know this. So he's going to do what he can, his utmost, to destroy you when you want to live a godly life. And you try, and you be good to people, and you turn from certain things. And they always have a way of turning on you or catching up with you and trying to drag you back or trying to put you down. We've got enemies that have come against us. We've got people that are hurting us. We've got things in our life that we've sort of walked away from, yet they're always there. They seem to be standing on the border of our life, just waiting to attack us. Get their knife out. They're well armed. They're prepared. Every now and again, we get fearful for what we see with our eyes. You see, what would have happened if Israel had looked at with their natural eye instead of the eye of the heart? They would have been defeated before they'd faced the enemy. Don't trust what you can see with your eye. Trust what you can feel with your heart. And you can feel the Lord's presence in your situation. So, the prayer goes on. See, Lord, look how they are repaying us for what we did to them. We left them alone and now they want to destroy us. But I love how this carries on. Goes on to say, we have no power to face this vast army. We do not know what to do. But Lord, our eyes are on you. What a realization that you don't have the power to deal with what you're facing. You don't have the power to overcome what has come against you. But where are your eyes? Are you looking at the enemy or are you looking at the victor? Their eyes were on the Lord. They knew that is where their help comes from. A help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We just got to keep our eyes focused on the right person and not on the situation. Then in verse 13 it says, all the men of Judah with their wives and children and the little ones stood there before the Lord. You never stand alone, people. You are not alone when you face these things. You try to deal with it on your own, but you are not alone. You've been placed in the body of Christ. You've been given friends and family who've got a godly nature. You should be standing in unity with them. You should be sharing, I'm battling with this. This is a weakness. This has come against me. Help me with this. They stood in unity, and where there's unity, God commands his blessing. You see, you got to be unified with the people around you. We have to agree with you in faith. This thing is not of God. This thing will be overcome by God. We're going to believe God. We're going to stand by you. We're going to hear from God for you because we are one body. We can't do this life thing on our own. As much as you want to be an independent and be out there and be the man or be the woman, you need the body of Christ. It's time we start reaching out to one another and we have the freedom to open our hearts to each other, knowing that once I share, it's safe. But then you've got to be that type of believer that other people's burdens are safe with you. They've got to know. You're not going to go off and tell everyone, oh, this one's battling with that. You know what? They really got an issue in their life with weed or with whatever, or hey, the guy's having an affair or whatever the case may be. Or you know what, those people are so poor, they've got nothing to eat for the next 3 days. People don't need to know that. They need to know someone needs help. Let's go help them. You see, people need to know what they share with us is safe with us. And once they share it with us, they know that we're going to stand with them. You might not be able to resolve it, but no one's expecting you to resolve the situation. You expected to participate with that person in the situation and be strong where they are weak. And give them word when you hear from God, because you're praying for them. That's family. That's what it means to stand together. All the men, their wives, and the children stood together. It's time we start standing together. Man, sometimes me, I don't want to share my problems. I don't think it's got, you know. What are you going to think of me if you know my weakness? What are you going to think of me if you know I'm battling with this or what that? What does it matter what you think? It's what God says that counts, isn't it? So why must I be afraid of what you think? When God is what matters in my life. Now get this. I love this part. Okay. As they're standing there in unity. Okay. Unity is the key. As they're standing there seeking the face of the Lord. Do you for 1 minute think the Lord turns his head away and says, I'm not listening to this bunch? No ways. That's not the God we serve. It says in verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of someone, the son of someone. What does it matter whose son it is? The Lord entered the picture. He chose a man amongst all of them standing there and said, I will use that man to speak a word into this situation. You see, all you got to do is be available and be open with others and let the Spirit of God touch you and the Spirit of God lead you, because the Lord uses people in your life. You see, last Sunday evening, the Lord worked mightily. See, the Spirit of the Lord came down and he used a man to touch many lives. Could have been a woman, could have been that man or this woman or that man, doesn't matter. Because they were in unity seeking the face of God, worshiping him. And what happened? The Spirit came down. We just got to be available, people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God used you like that to give hope to a nation? God wants to use you like that. He desires nothing more than you to be open to be used by him, to be his spokesperson, to be his mouthpiece. That's the desire of God's heart, that we will be available to him 24/7. But then we've got to be in unity with him and with his Spirit. So we think now, wow, awesome. Got this big enemy. We sought God. God is going to give a word now, and it's going to be immediate breakthrough. Well, it was almost like that, but not quite. Goes on in verse 15, it says, then he said, this is now the guy who the Spirit came down on, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judea and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Listen, people. Megan, you're listening, you're hearing this. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. Don't be fooled by what your eyes see. For the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, Kevin. It is God's battle. Why are you trying to do his work? Why are we trying to fight these things? Julie, why? The battle is the Lord's. Some of them trust in chariots, some in horses. I will trust in the name of the Lord, says David. Where are you? Who are you trusting in? The battle is the Lord's. And then he says something astounding. He's just told the entire nation, the battle is mine. Okay? You just calm down. Take a chill pill. But then he says in the very next sentence, tomorrow, march down against them. That doesn't make sense, does it? He just says, you relax, I've got this. And then he says, go. I would be like, Lord, seriously, must I go or must I stay now? But you see, we got to do something. But we got to do what the Lord says what the Spirit says to us and not what our head says to us. These people think they're going to have this immediate breakthrough. They're going to stay safe in their little towns, and the God's just going to annihilate the enemy. He says, I want to test your faith. I want to test your faith. I want to see where you are. Do you believe my word that I've brought to you? Look, I said the battle is mine, but I want you to go down. I want you to look at this enemy, and then you will see. They will be climbing up the pass. He even says to them, go look at them. They're going to be right in that place over there, okay? We know where the enemy is, don't we? We know who we're fighting against. It's not our fellow man. It's a spiritual battle. We're just fighting in the wrong places. In verse 17, it says, you will not have to fight this battle. Whew, breakthrough. Okay, Lord, you just told us go, but now you tell us again, we won't need to fight. Jeez. Thanks, Lord. I was getting nervous there because that's a big army. But thank you, Lord. I'm really encouraged now. I won't have to fight the battle. And then he says, go take up your positions. Lord, come on. You're confusing me. I must go take up my position. So if I take up my position, I've got to prepare and be in place as if I was going to do battle. I can't go there in my shorts and my pluckies or in my pajamas. I've got to be kitted out for war. Okay, I've got to have my helmet on. I've got to have my breastplate on. I've got to have my shoes on. I've got to have my sword with me. Is all of this sounding familiar to you? Okay, I've got to go be prepared for war. I've got to have on my armor. Okay? Most of you are running around naked. You're spiritual streakers. Where's the armor of God? You want to do battle, but you've got nothing to fight the battle with. Where's the armor? Oh no, I took it off because I didn't need it. You don't take it off. You live in it. It's not something you put on and off. It's something you put on and it stays on. You sleep in it. You go to work in it. You eat in it. You shower in it. That could be weird, but spiritual stuff. We don't take it off. We get ready for the battle. So the Lord carries on and says to them, go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Again, it's confusing, Lord. Tomorrow you want us to equip ourselves, to go as if we're going to do battle, but you're going to do the battle for us. Why? Because God often gives his people a grandstand seat to the victory parade that's about to take place. He wants you to see his glory. He wants you to experience the victory he's going to bring you so your faith can be built. So you know next time I can trust God. I don't need to be afraid. I don't need to back away. I don't need to turn my back. I can prepare. I can go out. I can seek God. I can get into before God. I can be faithful. I can know that because I serve him and because I love him and because I got my helmet of salvation on and my breastplate of righteousness and my sword and all these things, I'm going to be okay. Because God has done it before. He's going to give me a grandstand seat so I can watch my enemy be destroyed. So the king bows down with his face to the ground and all of the people of Israel as well. We don't bow down to God enough. He gives us direction. He tells us what he's going to do. And we just, hey, Lord, that's sort of what I expected of you because you are a good, good father. We don't honor God. We don't glorify God. We don't worship God enough. That was so nice about last week when we could just worship God. We need to do that more. We don't need to hear messages. We need to hear from the messenger, the Holy Spirit, when on our face before the king, that he can talk to us. So what happens now? Early the next morning, okay, they've had a whole night now to think about this, okay? And it's usually when there's time between what God has said and what God is going to do that we develop doubt and our faith gets tested. And for these Judeans, it was exactly the same. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah. Just listen to me. I just want to encourage you again. I know you've had time to think about it. I know, Alicia, some doubt might have set in, but I want you to be strong, girl. We're going to do this. Listen to me, Judah, people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. And you will be upheld. And then he goes on to say, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out the head of the army. I'm going to build your faith. We're going to sing to God's glory. We're going to praise the Lord because we know there's a victory coming. Yes, we're going to go face the enemy. We're going to look at them eye to eye. We're not going to be able to squirm away. We're going to see their size. We're going to see their cavalry. We're going to see their weapons. But it doesn't matter. We are glorifying God and the battle is His. Man, that's an attitude of the heart, that. And they sing to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And then it leads into that verse we started off with last week. And as they praised God, he set ambushes for the enemy. You see, they were raising a hallelujah in the presence of the enemies. Okay? And it was that act that decided the fate of that battle. Victory came because the word of God and the faith of men was put into action. They didn't buckle under fear or under doubt. They had a mighty enemy against them, like you've got against you. You're facing things, tremendous things, things other people don't know about. And you've been battling for breakthrough. And God says to you, I'm Lord of the breakthrough. The battle is not yours, it is mine. You need to start praising me in the presence of your enemies and you'll watch me defeat them for you. I'll set an ambush for them. Do you know what happens here? These people that they were good to start attacking each other. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and those from Mount Seir. First, the Ammonites and the Moabites attack Mount Seir for no reason. Judah standing watching this, and they wipe them out, and then they start attacking each other and wipe each other out completely. Judah walks in. It takes them 3 days to carry away all the plunder. They had so much money and jewelry and weapons. 3 days for an entire nation to carry off the battlefield what the enemy had left there. And on top of that, everyone around them recognized the glory of God and left them alone. Because they were obedient and they trusted the word of God. And God is saying to you tonight, the battle is not yours, it is mine. I need you to have faith. I need you to stand up and say, Lord, I'm yet to raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Nothing, Lord, will come against, nothing that comes against me, Lord, will prosper because I'm a child of God. I belong to you, Lord. I honor you. I glorify you. I'm going to be obedient to you. But if God tells you, arm yourself, arm yourself. If God says to you, stop this, you stop that. If he says to you, do that, you do that. Your obedience will bring the blessing of the victory. We need to stop getting caught up in our plans and allow God to direct our steps. Who wants breakthrough? Apparently Dirk really wants breakthrough in the back there. Guys, breakthrough is one small prayer away and one small step of faith and one big step of obedience. That's all it takes. God has said to you now, tonight, relax. I want you to go check the enemy, acknowledge the enemy, but know that the battle is mine. then I'm not going to leave you or forsake you on the battlefield. I'm going to be fighting on your behalf. You just rejoice. You worship and you praise, and you will see the breakthrough. And I can believe a God who gives me evidence of Him doing this over and over and over again. This wasn't a once-off. This is a continual process throughout the history of Israel and throughout the history and the life of Jesus and the apostles. God is Lord of the breakthrough. So let's stand and let's honor and glorify that God. And we're going to pray and then we're going to sing Raise a Hallelujah. You know what? I want to hear you raise a hallelujah in the presence of your enemies, because He is Lord of the breakthrough. Let's stand and let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that each person who stands tonight is standing, Lord, because we acknowledge we've got an enemy who's come against us. No one's life here, Lord, is without attack. Some of us are battling sin. Some of us, it's relationships. Some of us, it's financial or it's economic situations. Some of us, Lord, it's an attitude of our heart. But we've all got this enemy, Lord. But we thank you that you've convinced us by the power of your word tonight and by the prompting of the Holy Spirit that the battle is yours, Father, that you will bring the breakthrough for us. But I pray, Lord, that our ears are open to hear your voice as you tell us what we need to do on your behalf, Lord, for breakthrough in the situation. And that you give us a measure of faith. Lord, your word says to each a measure of faith has been given. But we pray, Lord God, you help us to apply our faith to the situation. And thank you, Lord, for the breakthrough. Thank you for the testimonies. I thank you we'll have mighty words of victory in the lives that are presented here tonight. There'll be healing in bodies, Lord. There'll be restoration in relationships. There'll be repentance of sin and complete turning away. There'll be breakthrough, Lord, in things that got a hold on us. Bondages will be broken in Jesus' name as you, Holy Spirit, move in our lives and move amongst us, and you conquer the evil that has risen up against us. Thank you we can stand and we can watch as you defeat our enemy, because we're going to raise a hallelujah, Lord, and say all glory and honor and power be unto you, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and the victorious one on the battlefield of our life. Thank you, Lord, you're an overcomer. You've done it all for us because you love each one of us. We glorify your name, and we pray it in the name that is above all names, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, that name, Jesus Christ. Amen.